Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Well, will politics destroy America, and has President Trump been vindicated? Why would we ask such a question? David, today was the day for which the political wonks have been waiting now for 22 months.
That's the Super Bowl for nerds. That's what it is.
The nerd Super Bowl, but not in a nerd village or Nerf village.
No, this report, listen, I'm fascinated by this. Anyone that tells you they've read the entire thing either helped write it or is lying to you. It's broken into two volumes. The first volume is just under 200 pages, 199 pages. The second volume is really the volume you need to read. If you want to really get, to me, the order is screwed up. It's almost like watching The Godfather in the volumes that they made it, where it's like on a chronological timeline.
Right.
Have you seen that version of it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Take all three movies. That's how, if you're going to read this Mueller report, read volume two first and then volume one.
It's kind of like Pulp Fiction. We're going to talk movies.
Exactly. It's apparent to me that the Mueller team knew maybe within 3 weeks of getting this assignment that there was no Russian collusion. And the way that volume one is written is extremely this is kind of odd, but nothing here, nothing here, nothing here. And volume two is really gets into the meat and potatoes of all of the things of obstruction and everything else. And what is absolutely just shocking to me. No law degree, never worked in a U.S. attorney's office in my life. But I am blown away by growing up and reading the Starr report and really following that Clinton investigation. I am blown away that this administration never used executive privilege. And moreover, all of the information that Robert Mueller had at his disposal came from access from the Trump administration in interviews with his staff. Every embarrassing thing in here about Donald Trump, he could have killed by just claiming privilege.
Right.
All of the notes taken from his staff, all the secretary's notes taken from other cabinet officials, all of it could have been redacted, taken away if Trump said that's executive privilege, never once claimed it, and basically did all the work for Robert Mueller. I don't even understand that. I really don't understand why you would even do that if you're Trump. If you were an elected official, I would have called executive privilege. Absolutely. There's no way I'd want any of those conversations out there. But there's winners in this report, and there are really big losers in this report.
Well, let's, before we get into the winners and losers, the phone number on News Radio 930 WBEN for your call is 803-0930, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. David, we have not talked about this, before we get to winners and losers, we have not talked about this amongst ourselves because, frankly, we've been too busy trying to read the report, and I'm not a really good speed reader, I got to tell you that. But my takeaway so far is, my goodness, what a waste of time, what a waste of money, what a waste of resources.
To an extent, yes, but I will tell you that here's what I'm going to say. Absolutely, the scope of this investigation was a waste and it never should have happened. However, this is a brilliant tool that will be used to hang many members of the Obama administration. The information that they gleaned and the way that they got it in this report is going to turn out to be absolutely devastating when Horowitz comes back with his Inspector General report, because we're finding out. I mean, let's just look at Michael Flynn for a second. Michael Flynn is accused of lying about his meetings with Russian foreign ministers, right? At the time that now Michael Flynn is fired from the administration because he, quote, lies to Mike Pence, the vice president. If you read the report, one of the things you find out is that Mike Pence is briefed by the Justice Department. He's briefed by the FBI. He's briefed by Jeff Sessions on what Michael Flynn is saying. Mike Pence at that time has no idea that these are that there's a surveillance on Michael Flynn. No idea whatsoever. If you tell someone this guy's under surveillance, they don't nominate him to be the NSA if he's under surveillance. So Mike Pence is given information from Andy McCabe and other members. I'm sorry, that would have been Comey. McCabe was also an associate deputy of the FBI at that point, and of Jeff Sessions, attorney general at the time, that this is what Michael Flynn is saying to the Russians. He then confronts Michael Flynn and says, Michael Flynn, are you saying this to the Russians? And he's like, wait a minute. If I tell Mike Pence what I'm saying with the Russians, I'm now bringing Mike Pence involved. I'm now bringing the Trump administration involved. And by the way, I'm also undermining the Obama administration. If there's a guy that absolutely got screwed in this entire report, it is the large, large apology that is owed to Michael Flynn. Oh, he lied to Mike Pence. But if you look at what he lied about and why he lied, it really is such a not. I mean, your 14-year-old is lying to you 17 times a day with the exact same reasons why Michael Flynn lied. It was a matter of, I am going to be the one. All the Russia talk at that time was about Michael Flynn. And so he's like, look, we have to be careful about what we're talking about because there's obviously something going on here that I have nothing to do with. But Michael Flynn was, understandably, he was fired by the Obama administration. He was not a, they didn't like him in the Obama administration. They hired him and then they fired him. And now he's like, I'm now carrying that static over. I want to be a lightning rod for this administration. And Trump naively thought that if he fired Michael Flynn, this whole thing would go away.
Right.
And there's a great conversation with Chris Christie about what happens if you fire Michael Flynn. Just really, I mean, listen, Bob Woodward could not write a better book than this. This is, if you want to get inside baseball, this report is excellent, but unfortunately, a lot of it's fiction.
Well, it's excellent. A lot of it is fiction, and it's very, very long to read, especially if you're not a speed reader.
But I'll tell you what, it's a quick read. There's not a lot of wonky lawyerese stuff in it, but you get down to, you know, think about this. If I surveilled your life for 2 years, if I interviewed every person that talks to you, and then all of a sudden, half of the people that I interviewed about you, I told I have you under surveillance. I mean, that's a game changer. KT McFarland, who is the basically the number two at the NSA, someone who I know well personally, I have nothing but respect for KT McFarland. She is one of the smartest foreign policy minds in the country. But KT McFarland was used to basically set up Michael Flynn. And her emails and her text messages are then used as a cudgel to stab into the throat of Michael Flynn. And again, what is he lying about? Michael Flynn didn't want to be accused of what Ronald Reagan was accused of when Jimmy Carter left office. They're backdoor negotiating with the Iranian regime. They know that they want to release the hostages 2 weeks before inauguration. And what does Reagan say? Reagan's people say, no, hold these guys until I'm inaugurated and then let them go. And so essentially he's having those backdoor channels as every administration has, but he doesn't want to disrespect the Obama administration. Meanwhile, they're using those secret, you know, those phone calls that every administration has, and they're saying you're negotiating sanction relief. Oh, that's what Trump wanted. That's what Steve Bannon wanted. Rex Priebus was talking about that. That administration can do whatever they want with sanctions. There's nothing illegal about that. But again, you've got an NSA wiretap on you. You got a FISA court going after you. That is completely uncalled for. And they've destroyed this man's life and got him on a perjury charge that is a legitimate. He lied to the FBI. But my God, I mean, there are that lie to go to jail, to have your career ruined, and 30 years of serving your country is absolutely uncalled for.
Well, the political spin, obviously, David, is all over the place on the internet. You know, Trump not vindicated after all, and now there's talk about investigating the investigators. Have we seen or heard the last of the Mueller report?
No, not at all. And in fact, here's the deal with Trump. You get a window into Trump in the sense that this is every reason why people voted for Trump, this is the same guy. You know, people are like, well, Hillary Clinton looks great on stage, but behind closed doors. Donald Trump is the exact same human being that's on his Twitter account that's on that stage. There is no facade with Donald Trump. He's an emotional guy. He gets fired up. And there are times that he screams, I want everyone fired. I want everyone out of here. They're all losers. Get them out. And he just has a staff that basically knows that Donald Trump will say someone needs to be fired 15 times. And then at the 16th time, they actually fire him.
Right.
But when you have someone taking notes, you know, is that a conventional president? Absolutely not. That's not conventional. Is that something you want in a president? Who knows? But it's certainly not criminal. There are some lies that Donald Trump got caught in here in this thing. He tweeted a couple times fake news. This isn't a real story. The New York Times covered the story. And Donald Trump said never happened. And according to his own attorneys, it did happen. Another conversation with Steve Bannon that he said never happened. Well, it did happen. Another conversation with Jeff Sessions said it didn't happen. It did happen. Allegedly, according to the other things. But Jeff Sessions is by far the biggest buffoon. I mean, I got to tell you that Omarosa was more qualified for her position in this cabinet than Jeff Sessions was as Attorney General. That's how horrible Jeff Sessions shows up in this Mueller report.
It is Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. We're going to get some phone calls in. We've got some audio to play as well. Shall we talk to some of the folks who want to weigh in with their take on it?
Sure. Let's do that.
All right, let's go to Michael in Niagara on WBEN. Michael, give us your take. What is your takeaway?
Well, I got to tell you, you guys are the only ones who brought up that the president had not used the executive privilege on any of the report.
That's such a huge point, Michael, because
it is the most major point.
I'm telling you, Michael.
What is the Democrats going to complain about now?
Oh, you can't.
It's not transparent.
Listen, Michael, if I was the president of the United States and this was coming at me, there's no doubt I would use those privileges. Absolutely. Article 2 of the Constitution gives the President of the United States, you know, executive power. It's in the Constitution. He can tell his cabinet member not to talk to whoever the hell he wants. He also can tell his cabinet member secretary that those notes you took for your boss are my notes. And if you look at the volume 2 of this report, Michael, every aspect of it, none of it came from surveillance. None of it came from detective work. It all came because Donald Trump allowed his personal attorney to sit down for 34 hours with Mueller's team. That is unbelievable, almost malpractice.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, it really comes down to, I really think that President Trump has just trolled the Democrats again.
In what way?
He's given them nothing. They cannot say that anything's being hidden.
Well, that's let's just compare this to Bill Clinton.
Oh yeah,
Bill Clinton was defining what is what, you know, in the deposition. He called executive privilege conversations he had with Ken Starr. He wanted to say that the conversations he had with the independent investigation was privileged. I mean, Clinton is like a ninja hiding in you know, in an alley, and Trump is basically like got nothing to hide here. But that being said,
leaving it right out on the table. Everything's wide open. There is nothing they can say is hidden,
except
for what's by law not allowed to be shown.
But I will tell you, though, that all the negative things in this report about Donald Trump, he allowed access to be seen. And that, to me, is where a political person, his campaign person, should have said, don't allow this person to talk to Mueller.
Right.
And by the way, do you realize what would have happened if Donald Trump sat down with the Mueller team? They would have got him on perjury without a doubt, because all of the questions that they found in the report, Mueller would have asked him to his face, and he would have continued the story that he told on Twitter, and there you go, you have perjury charge.
Yep.
It was a trap from the very beginning. And you know what's interesting? If you read Volume 2, Michael, you'll see that Mueller really didn't want to talk to Trump. He didn't need to because he got all the information from Doug McCann, Steve Bannon, and here's the crazy part, Paul Manafort, for the jail term that he got, the cooperation that Paul Manafort gave Mueller, all of the information from 2016 in the campaign came from Paul Manafort's testimony. To give that guy 40 years in prison and solitary confinement, it shows you what an exquisite A-bomb there Mueller is. Mueller is a complete D-word.
Yeah, usually exquisite is followed by the D-word.
Well, I'm telling you, he is absolutely one of the cruelest people in the world to treat Paul Manafort the way he treated him, because everything he has from the 2016 campaign came from Paul Manafort's testimony. So if he was lying to him then, he used it in the report. How could you say Manafort is lying about the information he gave you when he gave you everything in Volume 2 that deals with 2016 campaign? It all came from Manafort.
Yeah, but it also goes back to the evidence gathering of the FISA warrants showing that they used the Steele report, which has proven to have been false.
And let me tell you, Michael, that's what's going to hang these boys, is the fact that Mueller used all that information, and now it's opened the door. Because Mueller has said all of this information is what gave us the Flynn testimony. Now it's the inspector general that says, okay, how did you get that information? What was the reason why you got those warrants? And as soon as they find out that it was politically motivated, this is all coming back to Loretta Lynch. It's all coming back to Eric Holder. It's all coming back to Brennan and Clapper and all the other usual suspects. This is going. You partner the Mueller report with the Michael Horowitz Inspector General report, you're going to have indictments from the Obama administration.
Oh, they're going to indict the Obama administration, sitting members of Congress and Senate. It's going to fall like a bunch of dominoes.
Well, you won't get the electeds, but you'll definitely get the administration of Obama, without a doubt.
It is 236 at News Radio 930 WBEN, Bowerly and Bellavia. Your takeaway from the Mueller report: has Trump, the president, been vindicated? Will politics tear apart the U.S. and your winners and losers? Those be the questions, mateys. News Radio 930 WBEN. The phone number is 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. A lot of people want to get in on this. A lot of you political wonks out there. Here is Jim in Toronto on WBEN.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, just something I've never heard mentioned in all this discussion, 2.5 years. Let's just say Canada has some damaging evidence on Hillary Clinton. And or any political person really bad information like that that the public need to know. It could be anybody. What collusion? If somebody had information on a local politician that they committed a crime or they were committing a crime, this Russian collusion BS is crazy. I think the United States and Russia, weren't they partners in the space shuttle programs? I mean, we have dealings with the Russians, or you guys do, and the idea that they might have had this information and Trump was getting it, well, if they had bad information, you know what? Personally, I couldn't care less. If they had bad information on Hillary or Donald Trump, for that matter, it's for the common good of the country, you need to know it. And we know Hillary Clinton. What do we know about this whole thing? We know there is 30,000 emails gone missing suspiciously. What's in those emails? Knows what's in that.
Jim, let me stop you right there. One of the things that a great takeaway here that I don't think you'll see as subtext in the Mueller report, but if you remember, as soon as Donald Trump is elected president, it's his FBI and his Department of Justice that tells him it would be unpresidential to go after Hillary Clinton. That's not what Western democracies do. We're a world power. We don't do that. It looks petty, and it's beneath the office. Do you know the people who were actually, you know, giving him that advice? All the people that were a part of this conspiracy. So it was like Donald Trump not only got screwed out of one of his campaign slogans of lock her up, but he got screwed out of that by James Comey and Andy McCabe and all of the other people connected to Rod Rosenstein, all of these other people that are actually behind this whole collusion nonsense. I mean, think about that. That to me alone is a conspiracy.
Yeah, the conspiracy was on the other side. The collusion was on the other side. It was a brilliant chess game. I got to hand it to the people that orchestrated this. This was and then when you have 90% of the media, that they could not pull this off without 90% of the media hammering home every night about collusion. Trump is this. If you didn't have the media, if the media had reported only 25% of the truth, they had nothing.
Well, let me just give you something right from the report on page 2 of volume 2, and volume 2 is the most important one to read. I'm sorry, in page 2 of volume 1, volume 2 is the most important one to read, but in volume 1, page 2, collusion is not a specific offense or theory of liability found in the United States Code, nor is it a term of art in federal criminal law. For those reasons, the office's focus is in analyzing questions of joint criminal liability and on conspiracy as defined in federal law. So let's just put this thing in normal terms here. Robert Mueller knew from the very beginning that the Attorney General of the United States, Barr, William Barr, did not believe that a sitting president could be indicted. So Mueller did a report knowing that he couldn't indict a president and that collusion couldn't be proven even if it was in his face. So what the hell was the point of doing this for 2.5 years if you know you can't indict a sitting president and you know the collusion is not in the United States Code?
Well, the point is they rolled the dice. They thought if they kept hammering home that Donald Trump's popularity or his base would start leaving them, they would start believing. Even a lot of Republicans, that's why they were sort of skeptical at the beginning, because they were falling for it. And I would give you this, that I think a lot of politicians – who are senators or congressmen, they don't listen to the conservative side or the other side. They're getting their news from a lot of other sources. Not all. Some of them have inside information, but a lot of them are hearing this hammering home about Trump, and they didn't like him personally. But just quickly, I'm going to mention, the obstruction of justice. If you think for one, a grain of common sense would tell you, if Mueller had evidence of obstruction of justice and it was dead to right, they have Trump. They don't have it, and they're still hammering home about this obstruction. They didn't have an obstruction of justice. They worded it in a way to leave it open. That's for the news media to hammer home again for the next year.
Hey,
I want to just get one of the things that always comes up is this June 9th meeting in Trump Tower that Russians showed up. They started talking about adoption. It ended up going towards Hillary. One of the things that we never really found out was what was said in that meeting and what the responses were. Trump, Don Jr. is texting Hope Hicks. They have both their phones. They have both their records. In the Mueller report, one of the things that we see in volume 2 on page 102 is Hope Hicks texting Don Jr. And Don Jr. is basically saying, I don't trust any of these people I'm talking to. And by the way, anything we tell them, they're inevitably going to leak something else down the road. So not only is that meeting a big nothing burger, but it's that Hope Hicks and Kushner and Don Trump Jr. all believe that these people are sent there only to get them to say something about Hillary Clinton. It's like they know it's a setup from the very beginning. Not only do they not deal with it, they don't trust these Russians at all. It totally defies everything we've been hearing for almost 3 years.
Absolutely does.
You hit it right on. You know, just to add to that, that was what the Pfizer and the dossier, the Pfizer warrant and the dossier, is to embed these people in the Trump campaign to sort of set up. So that shows you the instincts of the Trump family, the business instincts and just street smarts, that they were able to, the Donald Trump Jr. was able to sense that, and that there's something sneaky going on.
Another thing, too, is a lot of these, at one point, Jeff Sessions resigns, and Donald Trump is going on an overseas trip. He leaves the resignation letter in his living quarters at the White House. It's in the residence area. So he's talking to his staff and attorneys, and there's like, where's the letter? And he's like, well, the letter is at home at the residence. And they're like, get it and sign on the letter, not accepted. Jeff Sessions tried to quit on multiple occasions. And they're trying to say it's obstruction of justice that Donald Trump told Jeff Sessions not to resign and then to unrecuse himself. And the reason why Sessions was asked to unrecuse himself is because once it was determined that the same guy Jeff Sessions met with also met with Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and every other elected member of the Senate and the House, it was like, wait a minute, what's the problem here? The other thing is that Trump is complaining about Mueller's team. Could you imagine if there was an investigation into Hillary Clinton's campaign and the attorney chosen by the government was, Jay Sekulow and, Rudy Giuliani? Because what you had in Mueller's team, his chief prosecutor, was the attorney for the Clinton Foundation. I mean, that alone is enough to say, wait a minute, you guys are corrupted. You're going after me with my opponent's foundation's attorney.
Kind of a conflict of interest if you're looking for an objective investigation.
You can't go into Hillary's emails with Rudy Giuliani leading the charge. You're not going to grab a guy from Fox News to lead the charge on Hillary. Why is that wrong? So basically, Barr took the point that the president of the United States was so outrageously aggrieved, that this was so unprecedented, it was so personal, and it was so emotional that every tweet, every time he's speaking in public, you have to consider that it was so out of control that Donald Trump was venting and he was emotional. And guess what? Mueller went with that too. So Mueller had to have known when this report was being written that under no circumstances can you indict a sitting president. And the other given is there's a lot of problems with how they got this evidence. And Mueller's quite aware of that. And so Mueller was like, I'm not going to move on obstruction. But the thing that I think is very cowardly here is that Robert Mueller has just written a report that he's handing over to Congress, that he's basically saying, go ahead and impeach him, because I can't, under my jurisdiction, do anything about it. So this impeachment conversation will continue to go all the way until the election and probably beyond that, because Mueller has written this report as basically saying, I can't do this under the DOJ, under the Department of Justice flag, but Congress, you guys can impeach for whatever reason you want. Just ask Andrew Johnson.
All right, thank you very much for the phone call. It is 3:46 at News Radio 930 WBEN to Tom in Cheektowaga, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Go ahead, Tomas.
Hi, Tom. Well, number one, I don't think they should have handed out any of the Mueller investigation because there's a lot more they have to do. They have to get a hold of all these people that were involved with the reason why we're doing the investigation. By the way, if you ever listen to Brandon Starka, he's on Facebook. He has like 3 million hits. These people, he's gay, and everyone's changing over to Trump. Trump's going to win no matter what if they don't impeach him first. They want to impeach him because...
Well, if they impeach him, he's going to win, definitely. I mean, that's a horrible decision if you're the Democrats right now and go for impeachment.
Yeah. Well, the reason they want to do that because they have another Supreme Court judge that's comatose, basically.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Yeah, there was also some talk that Clarence Thomas might step down during the Trump administration, and I think it is crucial to the country that Donald Trump wins re-election.
By the way, are you aware that Adam Schiff's sister was married to David Soros at one point?
I don't need any more information on Adam Schiff. This guy should not have a security clearance. And by the way, today, a very interesting news bit. In the middle of a Fox interview, Kellyanne Conway called on Adam Schiff himself and said, hey, Adam, we've already asked you to resign from your seat on the Intelligence Committee. I'll tell you what, why don't you give us this evidence? Remember, Adam Schiff said that he had evidence of collusion that Robert Mueller didn't have. And now the administration's going after Adam Schiff saying, why don't you present that? And by the way, were you withholding information from Robert Mueller? Because that in and of itself is a felony, right? If you're on the Intelligence Committee and you're holding on to information, not sharing it with your colleagues, Adam Schiff, to me, should not have a security clearance, nor should he be a member of Congress. If there's any bad guy in this whole thing, Adam Schiff has literally lost. He's become a truther. It's like those 9/11 truthers.
Winners and losers from the Mueller report. Will politics tear apart the United States? Has President Trump been vindicated? And what, you know, I want to add one, David. What have you seen or heard in the media that has frosted your flakes? Because the reporting on the release of this document and its significance and its conclusions, it really depends on which media outlet you happen to be turned into in terms of the interpretations thereof. It's amazing.
But, you know, Tom, just think of anything that you've put your entire reputation into. If you were one of those people that, you know, you're religious or you believe in a cause and this is all you believe in, this is what you put your entire reputation on. You talk about it for 2 years as a professional. And it's not like you're on Blog Talk Radio. You're doing this on a national service. Millions of people are listening. And then you get a piece of a document that comes out and 500 pages of it say you're absolutely wrong. Moreover, you didn't know what the hell you were talking about and all your sources were lying. You either double down or you do what you know, you got to give respect to John Brennan, who basically said, I got bad intel and people lied to me. Well, he's
That does happen.
It does happen. Normally it doesn't happen when you're head of the CIA, though. I mean, it would be nice to know that you had a little better intel than that. But moreover, this is absolutely a career killer if you're a serious person. Rachel Maddow, I don't consider her serious anymore. Eric Swalwell, who's running for president, I mean, he might as well. I mean, this guy is a lunatic. He could be riding a unicorn right now. This is just...
He's the guy who wants to confiscate all semi-automatic weapons and has talked about, well, first of all, he joked about nuking those who didn't comply, and now he's saying put them in jail.
Arrest the... Yeah, and he won't differentiate between semi-automatic rifles and handguns. It's the semi-automatic that makes them dangerous. He's a lunatic. But my point is, what do you do when your religion, when your basis of existing, why you're on TV all the time, is now turned out to be fraudulent? Now you have to get back to reality, which is, how the hell did we lose this election in 2016? The delusion for 2.5 years is, how did we lose to this guy? Now it's, oh my God, we're going to lose to him again. We still haven't figured out what our party stands for, and we still haven't figured out how are we going to beat this guy. He's kicking our ass, and it's not Russia that helped him.
Well, the Democrat Party has a clear branding problem, David. I mean, it is not projecting as a unified party exactly what it is, and I'm surprised AOC has not been more muzzled by Nancy Pelosi.
You know what? I think she's the only shot they have. At least she has ideas. They might be insane, but they're new ideas. People seem to like her. They seem to see vitality in the party. The old guard gave us Hillary Clinton. What's the new guard going to give us?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.